A new bill unveiled yesterday would change the way Wisconsin schools are evaluated, including turning the lowest performing public schools into charter schools.
So under the bill, failing schools, schools marked as failing, could be turned over to a private charter management organization. The Republican-authored bill is up for a vote before the Wisconsin Senate Education Committee later this week.
Here to explain how the bill would change the landscape for Wisconsin schools is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. Steve, good to have you here.
Oh, very good to be here.
Well, let's start with where we are now. How are Wisconsin schools evaluated right now?
Well, presently, and it's just a two-year-old system that we have. They first came out in 2011, and some of this is because of federal expectations for reporting certain types of statistics per school district. The each Wisconsin school district puts out actually what's a fairly attractive, it even has a nice little icon of the state, five areas that they look at for school districts across the state. And broadly, they're interpreted in five different areas. You can either significantly exceed, the second lowest is meets few expectations, and then, of course, the one that nobody wants is fails to meet expectations at all. And then they measure those in these areas: student achievement, which basically is are students passing and how are they with combination of standardized test scores and those kind of things; student growth, which is something that people advocated for a while to have that included. So how did the student change from last year to this year? So that's a good thing. Closing the gaps between racial and ethnic groups. How are we continuing to have achievement gaps, or are we narrowing that? And then the last one is a real interesting one. Are the schools on track for the students being ready for post-secondary career and college? Wisconsin's decided to address that with ACT scores, perhaps in some cases, or post-graduation career training and those kind of things. So those are the areas that it's reported in.
Well, so what you just described, now that could change if a new bill gets passed. How would the new proposed system be different?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. Even as I've been in education for a while here, you know, anybody listening out there that has a child that's in elementary school, they probably know that grades per se, specific grades on report cards, went away a generation ago. The parents want to sit down and talk with the teacher. They want a narrative. They want a discussion. They want to find nuance. How is my child doing? Are they excited? You know, they like some discussion. They don't really want just a single letter grade. Oh, good, you got a B. Now leave me alone, kid. You know, they really want to find out. Interestingly, the proposal that's in the Senate now goes back to this actually old idea of assigning a specific letter grade. So I guess if you're in the highest category, one would earn an A. And if you were down in those two lowest categories, one would earn a D or an F. And so I understand politically what this is an attempt to do is to take complex data and present it in an easily digestible, easily understood way. And that may be a good idea in some parts, some things in life, but let's just say that educators would be hesitant to do that in any case, but that's what the legislature is proposing now. And then what they are also proposing is if a school, now this is not a district, this is a school, if a school would earn a D or an F for 3 years in a row, now I'm not quite sure what the cut scores are, so most of us would probably say 60% is an F or D, but I'm not quite sure what the legislature might set for that.
Right. So what happens if you get 3 years failing in a row?
Well, they take the school away. And people are saying, what do you mean they take the school away? Well, as it stands now, that school is removed from local control. So it's as if the local school board, which was responsible for those 3 years of failing or subpar performance, they are removed from having any legal purview over the functioning of that school. And then that school could either then reopen as a private charter school, or the one proposal that's included would be that a private for-profit, or not-for-profit, but a private outside entity could come in and operate that school.
So it's kind of a three strikes, you're out kind of thing.
Oh, very much. And in fact, really, it's sort of two strikes and a couple foul balls and you can be out, because they've included the D category in this too. Now, of course, the devil's always in the details, but this is a program that is intended to tell local districts, you have proven to us that you cannot operate responsibly. Therefore, then, as Senator Olson, who's the one who has proposed this, and a few other people, are saying, you no longer have the authority and the legitimacy to do this. And therefore, then, you've been removed from even having decisions or inputs on this, and the state knows best.
Now, Senator Olson has also said, you know, this is about accountability to him, and the bill also is calling for testing to private voucher schools, making sure that if they're receiving taxpayer money, that they're performing well, too. Can you unpack that a little for us?
Absolutely. And this is what's wonderful about politicians. They're so good at combining things that one group may find palatable and another group may not like at all. But what is the brilliance in this bill is there were lots of people saying in the earlier version of the voucher expansion in Wisconsin that accountability almost is a catchphrase anymore, but measures of responsibility and student performance within districts was unknown. And at the very least, it was uneven because we couldn't compare this private charter school in Kenosha with a public school in Mercer. And the idea now is that they will all have to take the same tests, all have to be have a production of the same report card, and therefore, at the end of the day, everyone's going to be held up to the same standards.
Now, as an education expert, you are a professor of education at St. Norbert College. How big are these changes?
Well, what is the most scary for public schools is that schools that might be making progress are not going to be, you know, they have 3 years to make progress now, and they need to get up into that C range. So local districts are going to feel, you know, that's going to be quite a challenge. It also disaggregates school buildings from school districts. So as of now, the DPI has moved towards districts being able to report the scores for all the students because they say you're a child of the district. This drills down much farther and identifies individual schools. So you might end up having a checkerboard type thing if this all gets implemented, whereas in a particular school district, you might end up having a number of districts publicly operated by the local school board.
And I'm going to just hold that thought right there, and we'll come back and talk further about this as we talk with Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College.
We continue our conversation now with education professor Steve Correa from St. Norbert College, talking about proposed changes in the way Wisconsin schools are evaluated.
What do you think about the proposed changes as we know them so far? Will they strengthen Wisconsin's school system? Why or why not? And do you think it's a good idea to close low-performing schools? How do you think we should change things to make them better for our schools? Our number, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Steve, as we went into our news break there, you were talking about just how big you thought these changes were. Is there anything you wanted to finish up there?
Well, one of the points I think that helps to make is that this is a continuation of the last 2 or 3 years of policy coming out of, you know, the executive and the legislative branch that are aimed at schools that help to solidify this tough on education persona. It's a very politically savvy move on a lot of politicians' parts. There's really almost no organized opposition to this, with the exception of another government agency, DPI, who is sort of wondering, what's our role on this? Do we develop policy, or do we just simply follow the policy of the legislative body? So some interesting constitutional issues there, but it's definitely singling out education. Now, they are the second highest expenditures in the state of Wisconsin, but it's really expecting a lot, narrowing these measures, making these measures front and center. And education is once again, and our K-12 schools are once again feeling under the gun for expectations and standards that they're saying we're trying to solve these things. Other people, now this is interesting, have said this is really an attempt to break up the Milwaukee public schools, because there are over 40 schools right now that could not meet that standard in this bill. That's individual schools within MPS. So, you know, there's a lot of parts to this, and it depends where you come down on the political spectrum. But politically, it's a very brilliant move, because these things, it's hard to oppose these things in public because it's a complicated issue.
Well, let's get our callers on this. We have full phone lanes right now, and you can join in just a moment at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Just had a line open up, and we go next to Sandra in Racine. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Well, I don't think Governor Walker and or his legislator are going to go down as being pro-education in the end. But when my ears perked up when I heard change failing public schools to charter schools. As far as I'm aware, charter schools have not proven to be better, performing higher than public schools. So that doesn't make sense, I don't think.
All right, Sandra, thank you for bringing that up. And Steve, would charter schools then be subject to the same tests and the same 3-year sort of measure?
One would assume, based on the fact that existing charter schools would have those same measures, that the new ones that would come online would also be held accountable in this consistent sort of fashion. But the caller's right. This defaults. The default setting then with a failing public school is, as we've said, removes it from any local control, per se, with an elected school board. There are those that say, how is a non-democratic solution to a democratic problem appropriate? But I'll let the political scientists tackle that one. But it does say that this is the solution we're offering you. So that is the avenue available for a failing school.
Well, I guess another question is there a suggestion in the legislation that a charter school is going to be a better performer than a public school, and is that warranted?
Well, I don't know that there's a suggestion. It's certainly implicit that it is better. It is explicit, as it exists now, that it is also the only option available. So there are not. It removes itself from local school boards. So that means it's private or a public charter, but a public charter could not be under the purview control of a local school board. So clearly it identifies the local school board as accountable and no longer responsible to operate that particular local school.
All right. Thank you for the call, Sandra. And let's go next to David in West Salem. Hi, David.
Hi. I've been a member of the school board for the last 14 years. Our local one, we have a small school district. One of the things I wish we would do would be allow us, or the legislature would allow us, to have the time to do some of these things, considering all the changes that we've gone through in the last couple of years with Act 10, with the expansion of the voucher program, with all these edicts. There are six or seven edicts that the teachers have to do now, and we're just trying to make some adjustments to it, and I can tell you that it's very difficult. And one of the things is, you know, not allowing us to start the school year when we need to start it, before Labor Day. If the legislature would do that, it would be immensely helpful for us to be able to adjust schedules so we could make accommodations so we could allow teachers to teach. The voucher program, I hear that there's some accountability. Well, that's fine. I appreciate that. How about make it that voucher schools can't cherry pick the kids that they're coming into their classrooms? I mean, there's a lot of things going on here all at once, and, you know, they say, oh, we're going to hold the local school boards accountable. Well, right now we're being held accountable, but you're tying our hands and our legs together and saying, here you go, go out and go forth and do great and wonderful things.
All right, David, thank you so much for all those thoughts. And I guess the core of David's comment there is that there's been so many changes, he doesn't feel that the schools have been able to absorb them. I guess, has there been enough time to make to get comfortable with what's already been changed and know whether or not it's working?
Oh, certainly. And you know, West Salem, a nice little district just a little east of La Crosse. And he is exactly right. It's been like drinking from a fire hose. And there are so many things coming their way. And the idea of local control, of course, all depends on what the view is out of your front door or your front window. If you're a local school board member, local control sits with you. If you're a state legislator, local control starts with you. If you're the governor, local control starts with you. And so we have competing political interests using a lot of the same language. But he's exactly right. From the start of the school year to measurements of teaching effectiveness, a lot of districts are having these unfunded mandates come this way, and they're just saying, let us get our head above water and we can see if this one works. So he's exactly right. Like I said, it's been a fire hose of reform, and so far they're swallowing everything they can.
All right. Well, thank you, David. And let's move on to Dan joining us from Marshfield. Hi, Dan.
Well, good afternoon. I just wanted just to say that I'm from the private sector, and accountability, I'm all for accountability. But from what I understand is public schools have no choice in the students they accept. Charter schools do. So until we kind of get the playing field the same between public and charter, I don't think that we can say either or. I hear that all the time that, you know, the local public school has to accept the students with special needs. Charter schools do not. And when you're trying to grade someone's performance, you've got to be able to compare it on apple-apples basis.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for that, Dan. And what do you think about the way students are evaluated and how that plays into the success of a school, the success or failure?
Well, certainly public schools have always taken everybody that comes. And education in Wisconsin, you know, the Wisconsin idea, Wisconsin Public Radio being a wonderful example of that, education has always held a universal understanding in the state as a vision to the future. And when you have a legislator presenting a bill that you can't get the Senate Majority Leader to comment on, nor the Assembly Leader, nor the Governor's Office, nor the DPI, because they haven't looked at this and they're not comfortable with it, you don't have a process for consensus building. And again, the changes in education in the last few years in Wisconsin have been very top-down, and we really haven't built consensus and ownership and feeling of we're all in this together. So the measures of having schools do well and efficient and add value to our students and all these positive things, nobody challenges in the state. We want that. The problem is that the schools are feeling these things are being imposed on them, and there really isn't an understanding or mutual goals of the group. And so this really isn't the way to have a consensus and a positive vision towards the future. It really just creates more friction as we move forward.
Well, as a last question, and we've only got, you know, about 30 seconds or so for an answer, but you mentioned earlier that this bill is brilliant politically and you think it'll be hard to come out against it in public. So how do you expect the debate then to unfold as it goes forward?
Well, what I suspect will happen is there may be some modifications made to the charter aspect. There may be some modifications made to how the accountability is measured. But it does seem a strong part of this is this attempt to be able to say you're failing and something must change. And that, I think, is where the rubber will meet the road, how they're able to get that through.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Always glad to be here.
We've been talking to Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. We've been talking about a new education bill coming to the Senate Education Committee later this week.